Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our last program, we left off in James chapter 5. We're ready for verse number 12. James says, after encouraging us to take into consideration the example of the prophets who suffered for the name of the Lord, he says in verse 12, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." This is just one more example of James calling to mind Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this exact same thing. "Do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Here James says, be careful what you promise. Be careful that you do not swear. And we don't mean swearing in this particular context as swearing using foul language. Instead, James means don't make promises that you can't keep. That's why you should let your yes be yes and your no, no. Harkening back once again to that lesson in chapter number 4. Our life is but a vapor, so we need to say things like, if the Lord wills, we will do thus and so. Be careful that we do not make promises that we cannot keep. If we do so, we expose ourselves to the potential of judgment. In verse number 13, he asks, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms." This is just another example of singing and praying listed side by side in Scripture. We find this all throughout the New Testament. Whenever Paul is teaching on singing in the church in Ephesians 5, verse 19, and Colossians 3, verse 16, it's always followed by prayer. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks in all things to God. That's from Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Singing and praying go side by side. It's why in Revelation chapter 5, you have the bowls of incense, which represent the prayers of the saints, pictured right next to the harps, which must represent the songs of the saints. Singing and praying go side by side. And so James says, are you suffering? Well, pray. If you're cheerful, sing. In verse number 14, he asks, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verses 14 and 15 are interpreted many different ways. I'm going to offer you a couple of interpretations. One I think is probably the case, and the other I wouldn't say is necessarily what I believe, but I'm not overly dogmatic about it. I believe what James is telling us is, if you're sick, pray and take advantage of whatever medical care is available to you. He says, have the elders come to you and pray and anoint your head with oil if you're sick. Now, oil in James's time was believed to have medicinal properties. People use these essential oils. Those are all over the place. My wife has an essential oil that she uses. People believe that they have some healing properties. And indeed, there may be some physiological benefit to using these oils. Well, this was sort of the same idea that James has in mind. If you're sick, you need to pray and take advantage of what medical care is available to you. Other people believe, though, that this is something that should be followed precisely as James says, that if you're sick, call for the elders of your congregation, have them come to you and pray and anoint your head with oil. And in fact, I know people who have done this. Now, I don't believe there's anything inherently wrong with doing this. In fact, if someone is ill and they want to follow James chapter 5, verse 14, I would not object to having elders come to them, pray for them, and anoint them with oil. I certainly wouldn't deny a brother or sister who believes this literally, that sort of accommodation in their sickness. I think, though, in verse 14, what he has in mind is when you're sick, pray for the Lord to heal you and take advantage of the medical care that is available to you. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now remember, in verses 13 and 14, James has advised those who are suffering and those who are sick to pray or to have others intercede on their behalf. So what does he mean in verse 15 about the prayer of faith? Well, anyone who prays is going to be praying with a measure of faith. Remember back in chapter number 1, James says concerning wisdom, let him ask God with no doubting. So there needs to be faith present. One must believe that God can and will give wisdom if he is asked. So prayer requires faith. When James says that the prayer of faith will save the sick, we must ask ourselves, save him from what? Now, some people claim that this would be save them from their illness. I will admit that that may be possible. I do not want to restrain the power of God unnecessarily. But we have all sorts of people who were sick and died in the scriptures, even though people were praying for them. So that leads me to believe that the prayer of faith that is going to save a person must have to do with their soul. This must have to do with their spiritual well-being and not their physical well-being. As James says, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So what is this person saved from? Well, I believe that they are saved from destruction. They're saved from judgment, that their sins are forgiven. And through this prayer of faith, one can be restored to a right relationship with God. He goes on to say in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Part of successfully battling against sin requires us to talk with one another about this. Now, some people have the notion that sins must be confessed publicly at all times. Other people have this idea that only a certain person or a group of people can hear confessions of sin. Well, in my estimation, James isn't pointing to a specific class, nor is he telling us that we need to confess these things openly to everyone. I believe we can confide our trespasses in any Christian that we trust. Sometimes we need someone to hold us accountable, and this is especially important for those who are overcoming addictions. Confessing our trespasses can really help us heal, and this is what James is urging us to do. Confess your trespasses, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it seems to me in this passage that James is talking about a couple of different issues. Prayer can help heal the sick, the physically ill, and prayer can also help heal the spiritually ill as well. The prayer of faith can grant us forgiveness of sins. We can confess our trespasses for one another and pray for each other that we may be healed, not from some sort of physical ailment necessarily, but so our soul can be healed. And anyone who is guilty of sin understands that there is damage that sin does to their life. So we very much need the healing of God to help us overcome that sin. He closes this out by reminding us of some good examples of how righteous people have accomplished amazing things in prayer. Elijah, he says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You can read about this back in the book of 1 Kings. Elijah was no different than the rest of us. He was a man with the same weaknesses, a man with the same strengths that some of us have. He prayed, and the windows of heaven were shut. He prayed again 3 years later, and the windows of heaven were open. So you see, a righteous person praying for someone to be healed of their physical ailments, or praying that someone could be healed from the sin that they have committed, this prayer is not in vain. This prayer can accomplish much. And Elijah is a prime example. James closes the book with some encouragement. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. There are sins that lead to death. And one sin that leads to death is departing from the Lord, wandering away from the Lord. Maybe you know someone in your own life who has wandered away from the truth. They used to go to church, they used to be a Christian, but they've allowed sin to re-enter their life. James says, if you go help that person, if you help turn that sinner back so that they return to the Lord, you are helping rescue a sinner from destruction. And in the process, a multitude of sins will be covered. So James, as he closes his book, wants us to be focused on one another, caring for one another, praying for one another, looking out for the best interests of our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a beautiful book with many wonderful lessons, and I know we haven't given it its just due in these short sessions, but I encourage you, study the book of James, read it, but above all, live it out in your life.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that God commands everyone to repent. We all desire to do wrong things, and we all succumb to temptation from time to time. But God does not want us to continue living in sin. Instead, He wants us to leave those sinful habits behind. And so He commands us to repent, to turn away from sin, and to turn toward righteousness. If you know you need to live better, but you need help changing your life, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.